The same scene kept playing over and over in my dream. Nurse Care was shouting at me one minute, and the next, she was gone. Then she would reappear and it would happen all over again. I kept watching and watching, unable to stop it. I screamed until my throat was raw. "So, this is what one of your nightmares looks like," a voice said, cutting through the agonizing pain of watching Care die. I glanced up, seeing a purple alicorn hovering over the scene. She smiled softly at me. I tried to say something, but my voice was silent. Twilight landed in front of me, placing a hoof up and dissipating the memory. The dream world went black for a moment, returning in a flash with the familiar scenery of the mare's library. The purple mare turned and ignited her horn, fixing several of the books that had fallen seemingly in her absence. "I apologize for the interruption into your dream, Star, but I need to talk to you and you don't need to do this," Twilight said. "You can speak now, by the way."
Why did you stop it?"
I said angrily. Twilight snorted.
"Because you know damn well that it wasn't your fault," she said. "You didn't bring this upon these ponies any more than I did." "It is my fault. I let them out and I got them all killed," I shouted.
"Star, please understand. You helped these ponies. You're helping them now. Don't let this get you down. You have to keep moving forward," Twilight said, plopping to her haunches and turning to face me. Her lavender eyes sparkled in the soft light of the library.
"Besides, there are bigger things going on that need your attention." "Is it all you brought me here for? A pep talk?"
I asked, snarling. Twilight sighed.
"No, not really. I wanted to talk to you about something," the purple mare said. "Your magic, I'm sure you've noticed by now that you are running into magical burnout."
I opened my mouth to scream at Twilight, but stopped and made myself let go of my anger. Yelling at Twilight wouldn't benefit anyone.
I have, I said softly. "Every time I try to access certain spells, it feels like my horn is being set on fire. I figured as much. It's as I suspected. Spark left something behind before she left you. Something that's causing the burnouts," Twilight said.
"She did what?"
I asked, cocking my head in confusion.
Twilight nodded. "I believe that whatever it is, it's one of the things that is responsible for the decay of our connection," the mayor said. "Regardless, I felt it was prudent to approach you about this."
"Is there anything that I can do about it?" I said.
Twilight smiled.
"Right now, I'm not sure. I'm still trying to locate the photonic spell resonance that's causing the problem. It keeps shifting between sub-quantum space-time and..."
The mare started to say before I coughed. She chuckled and sighed.
"Right, Equestrian. I'm having problems trying to find the cause of your magic drain. Better?"
I grinned.
"Better," I said. "So why now? Why interrupt my dreams?"
"Like I said before, you looked like you needed it," Twilight replied. "This connection between us, I'm feeling your pain just as much as you feel mine through my memories. This was important to you."
"I watched some pony I made a promise to die, and there was nothing I could do about it,"
I said, an edge of anger returning to my voice.
"And yet you are not truly at fault. It was no action or failure to act of yours that killed her," Twilight said.
"Here you are, Star, still moving forward. Don't ever forget that. You are stronger than you think you are. Now, if we are going to solve this problem with your magic, you are going to have to clear your head and get it in the game. Only you can undo the thing blocking it."
"What am I supposed to do?" I asked.
Twilight smiled coyly.
"First things first," the purple mare said. "This block is being caused by a foreign matter that Spark left here when she escaped your body. In order to get rid of it, you're going to have to face it. It won't be easy, but I know that you can do it."
She motioned with a hoof, pointing at a door in the back of the library. It led down to the treehouse's basement level.
"There, you'll find the block down in the basement." "Are you sure about this?" I said hesitantly.
Twilight nodded.
"Trust me," she said.
I sighed and trotted past the purple alicorn. I reached out with my magic, grasping the doorknob in a soft purple glow. The door opened, revealing a set of stairs that went down. It seemed like they went on forever.
Sighing again, I started down at a brisk trot, making sure to watch where I stepped so I didn't trip. The stairs curved, turning into a spiral that led down into darkness. The further I moved, the less light that I had available to me. I finally reached the bottom, my hoof striking wet concrete. I nearly slipped as I moved out into the dark and dank room that stretched out before me. My eyes widened. It was the maintenance level of the Ministry of Technology hub. The sprawling labyrinth of pipework tunnels lay before me. I shook my head, remembering quite clearly what had happened here.
No, I whimpered softly. No, 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 not here.
Tears filled my eyes, and I nearly couldn't keep moving. I hung my head for a brief moment before picking myself back up again. No, I couldn't stop now. It was too late to go back. I needed to see this through to the end. A foul stench assaulted my nostrils from deep within the halls of the complex. Snarling and snapping sounds filled the air as I pressed forward. Water dripped from the old pipes onto the concrete below me, the plip-plip accompanying the soft clip-clop of my hoofs. Where was the supposed block at? Somehow, deep in my heart, I already knew where it was. The tunnel I was following rejoined the main shaft, and it was there that I saw it. Two ghouls crouched in the middle of the tunnel, feasting noisily on the body of a green and purple pony. She was whimpering as the two ferals bit into her, her eyes locked directly on me.
Why?
The mare choked out through the blood, her voice raspy.
Why did you leave me? I didn't leave you,
I replied, turning my head to try and look away from the green mare. Every time I tried, however, I found my attention being brought back to her. She had stood up, the two ghouls still continuing their feast. Her mane was tattered and pieces of her flesh were simply missing. Her eyes were soulless, filled with darkness and rage.
You left me,
the creature shouted.
You're pathetic, a weakling, failure. You don't deserve to live. No, I'm sorry, please,
I said, dropping to the ground in front of the thing.
It wasn't my fault, please.
The zombified mare howled, her raspy voice lending an inequine feeling to it. She moved forward, the two ghouls moving with her somehow. She appeared within a few inches of my face, rage painted all over her face.
Wrong. You're wrong. It's all your fault. You left me. You left Nurse Care. You left Cranky, Diamond, and every pony else that you care about. You left them to die,
the thing growled. Tears filled my eyes as I tried to move away from the beast. Was this what was blocking my magic? Did I truly blame myself for everything that had happened to those close to me? I realized that she was right. It was my fault. I was to blame. The thing moved closer and closer, and I sat there, ready to let it take me. Take me to where I could no longer be blamed.
No!
A voice shouted, cutting through the air like a knife. I looked up, seeing the perfect vision of the mare I had lost. Her purple mane fell in waves across her pristine green coat. Lucky's brief smile was a beam of sunshine chasing away the shadows, a breeze blowing away the cobwebs. All too soon it faded and Lucky glared at the zombified version of herself.
You're wrong. It was never your fault. I chose to be here. I chose to become Star's friend. I chose my fate. Just like all the others, we all chose. We all chose to believe in the Ministry, Mare.
Lucky?
I said, scrambling to get away from the ghoulish mare.
What are you?
I'm not really Lucky, the green mare said. I'm the part of your mind that's rationalizing this thing's existence.
She pointed at the ghoul Lucky.
Star, you can do this. Stop her. Show her what it means to know love, to know friendship. All of us, all of those you've lost that you think you're at fault for. We're all here. We're all rooting for you.
But I left,
I said softly.
And since when did you get to make the decisions that included us in the first place? Like I said before, we all chose to be here,
Lucky snapped.
We all came of our own volition. Sure, it was you that drew us here, but we stayed because we wanted to. But in order for us to give you strength, you have to learn how to give yourself strength. Now please, let us help you for Celestia's sake.
Lucky,
I started to say. The green mare stomped a hoof, startling me.
No, Star, no excuses. Stop crying about what's gone wrong and think for 1 second. Think about Violet, about Patch, Steeljack, Nixies and Lilith. Think about all those ponies back in the city, Lucky said. Most of all, think about me. Don't give up and don't give in. You have to, for us.
My eyes burned with tears as I stood to face the pristine mare. I nodded silently.
Okay,
I stuttered.
I will.
Good, now get ready. You need to overcome this thing and it isn't going to be pretty. But you have to do it or else you'll never be able to move forward and face Spark,
Lucky replied. I turned away from the green mare, glaring at the ghoulish specter in front of us. It howled and sucked at the air violently, each moment descending further into pure rage and madness. I put a hoof up and flared my horn.
Stop! Be gone, foul beast, from my mind!
I said, grasping the thing with my magic. It howled louder, snarling and snapping as it fought against the telekinesis holding it in place.
I am the sum of my friends. They give me strength. For those I've lost and for those I still hold dear, I will banish you!
The light from my magic overwhelmed the monstrosity until finally it was no more. The dripping of pipework was all that was left of the ambient sound and the foul stench lifted from the air.
Good job, Star, a familiar voice said. I knew you could do it.
I glanced back, seeing Twilight there instead of Lucky. I narrowed my gaze at the purple mare as I realized I was back in the library.
You knew?
I asked. Twilight hung her head and nodded.
I knew that this would test you greatly, but I had every confidence that you would succeed, she replied, smiling.
So it's gone now?
I asked.
Yes, can't you feel it? The connection between us. It's stronger now that the blockage has been removed,
Twilight said, nodding. I closed my eyes, feeling the spirit mare's presence. She was right. Where there had been just a hint of her magic, it was now flooding my senses, overwhelming them even.
You've given us a bit of time, Star. The connection will still degrade, but now that you've slowed the rate of its decay, we can take care of Spark properly.
What about the burnout?
I said, cocking my head.
You will have to acclimate yourself to using the new power levels available to you, but the blockage being gone should allow you to experiment without fear of burning your horn out,
Twilight said.
However, there is still a chance of damaging or injuring yourself if you overuse such spells, so practice with caution.
Thanks, I guess,
I said, trying to smile.
Twilight nodded. Now, it's time for you to awaken. You have much to do, Ministry Mare,
the purple mare said as the world around us filtered into nothingness.
I awoke with a start, realizing where I was and wondering just how long I'd been out. The room was still dark and the warmth next to me made me realize that I wasn't alone. I sighed softly as I glanced down at the green mare snuggling up next to me. I smiled. I felt good, alert and rested like I couldn't remember being, not since I'd left my home and fought knowledge. The encounter with Twilight had given me a new perspective and the removal of the block had me feeling bursting with energy. I wish I understood the purple mare better, but every time I tried I couldn't quite place where she was coming from. She acted like she wanted to help me, but she wanted to kill Spark. I couldn't just let that come to pass.
Star?
Violet said as she awoke, bringing me out of my thoughts. I smiled down at her.
Hello, my dear,
I said softly.
How long was I out?
For a while,
she replied.
The others are in the infirmary getting ready. It's almost time to go.
I nodded, pushing myself up away from my laugh. She stood as well, lifting her things with her magic. I grabbed Stargazer and we exited the room. A short walk later and we arrived at the infirmary. Nixies and Steeljack stood outside the room with Grey Knight. The white stallion nodded curtly at our arrival.
Ready to go?
I asked. Grey nodded solemnly. I reached down and nuzzled Violet closely.
Be careful out there.
You too,
Violet replied, planting a kiss on my cheek and trotting down the hall after Grey and the others. The armor-clad stallion led us through the drab gray of the stable's hallways to the main entrance. None of the tribal ponies dared to approach us as I pressed the button opening the large gear-shaped door. The door hissed as it slid away, revealing a dark cave tunnel. This particular stable was cleverly disguised beneath a fold school in the town. Granted, said school was now burned to the ground mostly, but even the rubble served to hide the stable. We moved through the tunnel swiftly, coming to the metal stairs leading up to the hidden door. I checked my EFS and listened carefully, then cautiously pushed it open.
"Coast is clear," I whispered.
The trap door lifted up and we stepped into the afternoon air. A breeze whipped its way over us, filling our nostrils with the scent of burning ash. Most of the fires had subsided, thankfully, but the damage was extensive. I hoped that there would be enough material to rebuild the town once this was all said and done. There was no way the tribal ponies could stay in the stable forever. We made our way silently through to the center of the small town to where Cotton Candy had established our meeting place. Gray pushed forward to the front of our group, his eyes darting back and forth. There was no sign of the Steel Rangers yet. I couldn't tell if this was good or bad. My eyes narrowed as four red blips appeared on my EFS.
"Perhaps I spoke too soon,"
I thought as Cotton Candy and three rangers appeared at the far end of the area. The stallion was wearing his power armor, a massive sledgehammer latched to his battle saddle. His helmet was hanging from another latch on his side.
"Well, now, why am I not surprised at this?" Cotton Candy said, sneering at the sight of me. "Welcome, Ministry Mayor. I trust you are here to witness this little contest."
"I'm here to support my friend," I spat venomously. "Something you wouldn't know much about, Candy."
The Steel Ranger growled under his breath.
"No matter. Soon I shall be the victor and the stable mine," he said. "But enough of this banter. I'm certain that you're here for more important business."
He glanced over at Grey Knight, who nodded in response.
"Indeed, let us begin,"
the silver armor-clad stallion said.
"The rules of this battle are quite simple, even for one such as thou, Paladin Candy. This fight is to the death."
I glared at Grey, my eyes widening.
"What, you never said?"
I started to say.
"Agreed,"
Cotton Candy interjected.
"Did you really think that simple defeat would be enough, Ministry Mayor? I know the stallion's kind too well. He would not be happy with anything less than an honorable death."
"Mine squire does not understand these concepts too well,"
the scarred stallion said. I snorted.
"Now, my friends, you would do well to stand back."
Steeljack and Nixis nodded, moving to stand next to a pile of rubble. I stepped close to the white stallion, narrowing my eyes at him.
"Be careful," I said.
Gray smiled softly.
"I thank you, Radiant Star,"
he said. I trotted across a clearing to sit down next to Steeljack and Nixies. Steeljack was still wearing Tempest, the eye visor retracted so I could see the worried look in his eyes. Candy nodded at the three rangers behind him and they retreated to their own corner of the small clearing. The pink unicorn grinned, unlatching his helmet and placing it on his head. Unlike other Steel Ranger helmets I had seen, this one didn't completely cover the stallion's face. It served more as a guard than anything else. He flared his horn and the sledge floated free in the pink glow of his magic. Gray stepped forward, placing his own helmet upon his brow. His lance came ripping out of its harness, the metal coming alive with blue energy. An eerie silence fell over the clearing as the two stallions circled around each other, waiting for some pony to make the first move. It was tense and at the same time somewhat serene. Candy broke the silence first, rushing forward at the white stallion with hellish fury in his eyes. The pink unicorn's sledgehammer came around in a blur of metal, swiping horizontally. Gray ducked as a massive sledge ripped through the air above him, barely missing his lowered form. Gray rolled to his left, using his momentum to come up to Candy's side. The scarred stallion charged, bringing his glowing lance in line with the ranger. Candy grinned, his horn flaring again as a sledgehammer came up, placing its head in front of the lance. A flash of blue erupted from the clash of the two weapons, forcing the combatants away from each other. Wasting no time, Candy surged forward again, this time bringing his massive weapon into the air above him, for a downward strike. Gray leapt to the side, his natural earthpony ability bringing him out of harm's way. The Steel Ranger roared as the sledgehammer slammed into the ground where Gray had been, several cracks appearing in the burnt rubble. Gray retaliated, bringing his lance about in a slash along Candy's side. The White Stallion struck true, showers of hot sparks sheeting away from the Ranger's armored shoulder. Candy snarled, lifting his sledgehammer again with his magic. He batted away the pointed weapon, using his magical advantage to knock back Gray as well. The Ranger glanced down at his shoulder blade, grimacing at the damage to his armor from the blow.
"Not too bad," he said. "I can't quite remember the last time an opponent got that close to me."
Gray said nothing, merely glaring at the Ranger around the lance in his teeth as he stood. He motioned with a hoof at the other stallion. Candy sneered, lifting his sledgehammer again.
"Forgive me, I shall oblige your death wish."
The pink unicorn swung out with the sledgehammer in a sweep, looking as if he was hoping to catch my friend in the legs. Gray grunted and jumped back frantically, thrusting his lance down at the metal blur that was Candy's sledge. Metal rang out against metal, sending Gray spinning through the air as the two weapons clashed. The White Stallion struck a pile of rubble hard. He stood shakily, coughing as he spat out the lance. A thin trickle of blood rolled down his chin.
"Do you submit?"
Candy said, stepping towards the stallion, his sledgehammer held loftily in the air.
"There's no shame in admitting when you've been beaten by your better." Thou art not better. Thou art vile. You and your kind have no place in this world."
Gray spat as he reached down to pick up his glowing lance.
"And I will see to it that the ponies of this town are protected from the likes of stallions such as thou. Do you truly think you can beat me? My, how naive you are," Candy replied casually. "You see, Grey Knight, I've been toying with you. You are weak, pathetic, a failure. If you want I should be serious, then serious I should be." "Do thine worst, foul villain. I shall stop thee,"
Grey shouted, latching onto the handle of his lance once more. The scarred stallion snarled, charging forward and thrusting at the Steel Ranger. Candy sneered, igniting his horn and bringing his sledgehammer around in a wicked slice. The weapon's blow rang on Gray's barrel, sending him flying again. Gray hit a pile of rubble with a grunt of pain. The stallion tried to push himself up, but couldn't in time before Candy was upon him. The Ranger swooped his sledgehammer upwards in an uppercut that caught Gray on his barrel, launching the knight into the air. I growled, but a hoof on my side stopped me. Steeljack looked up at me and shook his head. I sighed and returned my attention to the battle. Gray coughed, sending blood splattering and his lance clattering. Candy's sledgehammer came back around to strike him, sending him into another pile of rubble.
"Pathetic!"
Candy shouted, galloping towards the earth pony. Gray tried to get up, grunting in pain. He held a hoof to his side, blood pouring out of his wounds in a pool beneath him. The white earth pony slumped back to the ground as Candy towered over him.
"See what I mean? You honorable types are all the same. So idealistic, so weak. I shall show you the error of your ways." "No,"
Gray choked out. The injured stallion thrust upwards with his hoof, catching Candy across the face and knocking him back. Candy scowled as Gray pushed forward, spinning on his front legs and delivering a spectacular buck to the Ranger's chest. Gray's hoofs connected with a resounding thud against Candy's power armor, denting the heavy steel chest plate. Candy dropped back again, his horn flickering under the assault. His sledgehammer fell to the ground. Gray used the opportunity to dash past the Ranger, snatching up his lance. He spun about, snarling as he charged. The lance came up, its blue energy arcing from the metal blade to the Steel Ranger's armor. He struck true, the lance's tip piercing Candy's leg. The pink stallion howled in pain, his own life force streaming from the wound.
"Fuck!"
Candy shouted, flaring his horn. His sledgehammer came up in the soft pink glow of his magic, swinging wide of Gray as the white stallion withdrew his weapon. Gray ducked underneath the massive hammer and brought his lance around for another strike. The stallion grunted as he raked the tip of the weapon across Candy's chest, blazing a trail of blue electricity. I narrowed my eyes as I watched the two trade blows. Gray was beginning to suffer, and I knew it wouldn't be long before the stallion couldn't go on. Candy, on the other hand, while he was injured, was also doing much better than his opponent. I suspected it had something to do with his power armor's repair spells. An unfair advantage, after all, made worse by Candy's nature. As a unicorn, he wasn't slowed as badly by simple physical damage. I couldn't fault Gray's effort, though. I could only pray silently to Luna that he would be victorious. Gray leapt back, deflecting another of Candy's blows. The stallion winced against the force of it as his lance was ripped out of his mouth and out of his reach. Candy sneered as he stalked forward, his sledgehammer held loftily in the air.
"How long are we going to play this game?" the Steel Ranger asked. "Let's end this now, Knight. I'll give you that honorable death you've been seeking."
Gray stumbled, dropping to his knees. I gasped. His wounds were more serious than I initially had thought. He coughed again, blood pouring from his mouth. He gazed up at the Steel Ranger towering over him.
"And I told Zhao before, do thine worst," he managed to say as he pushed himself up.
He extended his legs, no matter how much he looked like he wanted to fall. Gray glared at the Steel Ranger, panting as he struggled to stay standing. Candy grinned evilly, lifting his weapon into the air.
"My pleasure," he said, bringing the sledgehammer down onto the white stallion's head.
A loud crack echoed across the clearing. Tears filled my eyes as I watched the pony who had called me Squire slump to the ground, his blood pouring from his head where Candy had struck. He hit the ground and lay there, unmoving. I snarled loudly as I pushed myself up from my position next to Steeljack and Nixies. It was unfair. It was unfair that some pony so selfless had to die like that. Blind rage replaced rational thought as I flared my wings and lit my horns, beating across the clearing towards the Steel Ranger that had killed my friend.
"Candy!"
I roared. The stallion's eyes went wide as I closed the gap, striking the armor-clad pony directly in the chest. My horn burned with intense fury as I lifted Candy's own weapon against him. The sledgehammer came around, striking Candy in the neck and knocking the buck to the ground.
You fucking monster! You killed him! He was a good pony and you killed him! You don't deserve to live!"
I screamed loudly, allowing my anger to cloud every amount of judgment I had ever had. I wanted to see the stallion pay for what he had done. He deserved death for all the pain he had caused. Nurse Candy, Gray Knight, he was responsible for all of it. I was going to dismantle him, turn him into paste on the wall. An explosion shattered the air, shocking me out of my rage for a moment. I glanced behind me, noticing the three rangers that Candy had brought with him. One of them was brandishing a missile launcher. The ranger aimed again, unleashing the payload of the launcher. My horn ignited, raising up my shield spell. The missile struck the shield, exploding harmlessly against my magic. The sharp retort of Tempest's rifle filled the air as Steeljack leapt into action. His first shot took care of the missile launcher, blasting the heavy weapon into two smoldering pieces. His second shot took care of the ranger's head. Nixie slopped behind the Earth Pony, leaping into the fray with wild abandon as he sliced into the remaining two rangers with his wickedly sharp claws. I returned my attention back to Cotton Candy, who was slumped over on the ground, wheezing and gasping for breath.
"It's just you and me now, Candy," I mused. "You know, you could have tried. You could have done better. You could have worked for the ponies of the wasteland."
Candy hacked and spat, staring up at me with hatred in his eyes.
"You don't think I tried?" he hissed. "I was there. I was there when Paladin Steelhoofs took control of the Rangers. I saw what trying did for them. The Wasteland doesn't want ponies who fucking try, it wants ponies who take. I tried once, and all it ever got me was nothing. I lost everything I ever cared about, Ministry Mare. I tried to do better, but better isn't me."
"Then we have nothing more to discuss," I snarled. "Prepare for the end you gave another, you foul beast."
I lifted the sledgehammer above the pink stallion's head. I was prepared to bring it down, just like he had done to Gray. I struggled against my better self, feeling at war within. Candy looked down at his hoofs solemnly, and I understood. If I did this, Did that make me any better than him? I wanted to do it so badly for Gray, but is that what he would have wanted? For me to taint his memory through more senseless violence? There was no honor in it, I decided. Just like there was no honor in taking revenge for Nurse Care's death. The lesson I'd learned in the recesses of my own mind with Twilight hit home. Gray knew what he was getting into, so did Care. They all wanted to make their own piece of the wasteland a better one. I thought for a brief moment that I had actually figured this out already, but nothing was ever that easy. I closed my eyes, letting my magic fall away and the sledgehammer drop to the ground beside me. I opened them again to see Candy staring up at me incredulously.
"Go,"
I said, dropping my shield. Battle swirled and crashed behind us. Steeljack and Nixie sat down the rangers accompanying Candy, but off in the distance I could hear explosions and gunfire. I prayed that Violet was all right. I glanced back at the pink stallion beneath me.
"Before I change my mind, there's no honor in killing you. Gray would have understood that."
Candy scrambled away, pushing to his hoofs and stumbling off with his sledge in tow.
"Star," I heard Steeljack say.
I glanced back at the Earth Pony.
"I'm all right,"
I replied, flaring my horn. Gray's broken and bleeding body floated away from where he had fallen. I composed the battered warrior and set him on a rough bier of rubble.
"We should check on the girls and make sure they're all right. I'm worried."
I smiled as I placed a hoof over Gray's glassy eyes, closing them.
"Rest well, my friend. You deserve it. We will be back for you."
It didn't take long to find the rest of the fight. Just over the next ridge, the fire started again. Explosions filled the air and we found ourselves overlooking the remains of the Steel Ranger camp. The rangers were firing at something. I glanced over at where they were firing. My eyes widened when I noticed a large group of Arlington's tribal ponies were attacking the camp. At their head was Violet, laying down a steady stream of silver fire. The robot, Equestria Prime, stood tall over the chaos. It appeared to still be shut down. A part of the ranger's fire was diverted to the top of the robot, where a black speck flew back and forth to draw their attention.
"Looks like they need some help,"
I said. Nixie and Steeljack nodded.
"Let's go give them some help."
I charged forward, unlatching Stargazer as I ran. My minigun came up, spraying a field of bullets at a nearby group of rangers, striking the ground in front of them. A few of them glanced up as we launched into the fray, clearly surprised at our presence. I roared, smashing the first ranger to dare come close in the face with Stargazer. Running through the small group, I managed to catch up with Violet while Nixie and Steeljack took point.
"Star?"
she said, her eyes wide. I smiled softly as I came up next to her. We fell back into the ranks of the tribal ponies, taking a minor breather amidst the chaos of the battle.
"You all right?"
I asked. She nodded.
"We're doing our best to try and give Patch the time she needs," she said. "I'm not sure what's going on up there. What happened to you guys? Where's Gray?"
I averted my eyes.
He didn't make it,"
I said quietly. Violet's eyes widened.
"What? How?"
she asked. I gritted my teeth, lifting Stargazer and firing at a nearby ranger.
"Cotton Candy,"
I simply said.
It was how he would have wanted it. But there's no time for that. We have to help Patch."
Violet nodded, her expression fearful. I moved to open my wings, but stopped after a hoof landed on my shoulder.
"Star, you didn't..."
my laugh said. I sighed and shook my head.
I wanted to,"
I said.
We'll talk later, okay?"
I fled into the sky, pushing all the pain and anger from the duel into my ascent. Equestria Prime was my target. Lilith hovered over the massive robot, firing off missile after missile from the bitch. I soared towards the Pegasus as swiftly as I could, dodging shots from the rangers below.
"Lilith!"
I shouted, catching my friend's attention. Below the black mare I could see Patch, her muzzle buried in an open panel on the back of the robot.
"Star, what are you doing here?"
Lilith shouted back.
"I came to see if Patch needed any help,"
I said. Lilith nodded.
"She's trying her best, but I don't know if she can get it working or not,"
the Pegasus said.
"At the very least, we've managed to keep the rangers from powering it up.
I nodded in response, folding my wings and landing next to my Earth Pony friend. She was muttering to herself under her breath.
Come on, work, dammit!
Pat shouted, pounding on the panel with her hoof.
Why won't this stinking thing work?
Pat, I said softly. The green mare looked up, sighing.
Star, I'm not sure I can do it, she said.
I smiled softly.
Then I guess it's plan B, I replied.
If the computer isn't going to bend to your will, let's plant the explosives and pop this thing.
Pat drooped, kicking a twist of wire off the sloping hull.
Yeah, I planted the explosives while I was working my way into this thing, but...
She sighed, staring down at the open panel. Wires and electronics, some thingies ran in every direction, a cosmic puzzle in literal technicolor. Patch smiled wistfully at the inner workings of the robot.
To think so, a piece of history gone down the drain.
Better that it's gone than in the wrong hoofs, right?
I offered. Patch nodded.
You're right, she said.
Her hoofs moved in a flash, switching up the diodes here and there. She closed the panel with a grin.
It's done. I sent the signal to power on the robot. We'd better get out of here and pronto. This thing is gonna blow up bigger than a skyscraper, I'm guessing. Hop on, I said, extending my wings.
Pat grinned and leapt onto my back. I took to the skies once more, calling out a warning to Lilith to follow us. Equestria Prime's eyes flickered to life and a steady hum began to emit from the metal monstrosity.
Initiating startup sequence. Warning. Initialization sequence error. Power core catastrophic failure imminent. The robot suddenly spouted.
A flash of silver erupted from below us as Violet shot off thunder flash at the rangers, who had begun retreating at Prime's declaration. The tribal ponies began to pull back as well. I searched forward, landing among the crowd of tribals next to Violet. Pet leapt from my back to the ground and continued galloping. We had just crested the next ridge when the hum emanating from the robot began to get louder.
Power cores at critical temperature. Overload imminent. Overload imminent. Goodbye. The robot screamed.
It never got a chance to finish before its head exploded violently. The rest of the robot's body followed soon after the metal sprang outward from the epicenter of the explosion. Those rangers who had been dumb enough to stay near the robot were decimated in a matter of seconds. I glanced back, seeing the rush of debris and shrapnel heading towards our group. We weren't going to make it very far before the stuff impacted. I gritted my teeth, spinning about and igniting my horn. It was as good a time as ever to see if Twilight was right about my magic.
Every pony, stay down!
I shouted as I released the spell. A massive purple wall flared into existence around the group, managing to appear just as several large pieces of metal struck it. The shield held under the stress of the shrapnel, dissipating the force of the blows across the entirety of the surface of the glowing wall. I grinned. My horn felt perfectly fine. Twilight was right after all. I breathed a sigh of relief as I stood tall against the onslaught of metal and fire. Then I felt it. It was there in the back of my mind. Something didn't feel right about this. The shield spell, while it was no longer causing me pain, was doing something else to me. I couldn't quite place what it was, but I felt all the voices, all the memories, all the emotions. They got stronger. I grunted, sending the message up into my mind to cut off the spell. My horn dimmed as the purple wall disappeared. Thankfully, the chaos that had split the air seconds ago had subsided. The intense feeling I had went away. What was that? I thought, shaking my head. Was it some sort of residual energy left over from Spark? I wasn't sure, but I bet Twilight knew about it somehow. Granted, she had said to take it easy with my magic and practice before I did anything stupid. Chalking the problem up to my own inexperience, I slumped to my haunches and gazed out upon the burning ridge. The robot's legs were still intact for the most part, standing absurdly pony-like and smoldering smokily. There was no sign of any of the rangers. They were gone. I sat there watching the wreckage burn, not sure for how long.
Gray,
I thought, sighing.
We were victorious, but we lost so much in the process. So many of this town's good ponies died. You died. But we helped them.
You did it, a voice said from behind me finally. I turned around, seeing a muddy brown earth pony mare. It was one of the tribal ponies. I managed a soft smile, a soft gasp escaping my throat as I realized that the town's ponies were carrying a body under a red cloak. It was Gray.
No,
I said, trying not to cry. I stood shakily, pointing a hoof at the body of the stallion.
He did it. He's a real hero. Now, let's see what we can do to help you get back on your feet.
The next day felt like things had returned mostly to normal. A cursory sweep of the area had revealed that the rangers had indeed fled the area in the aftermath of Equestria Prime's destruction. I was sure they wouldn't be coming back anytime soon. Once we had known for sure, we started helping the ponies of Arlington move back out of the stable and onto the land once more. Medical supplies, weapons, and even furniture were brought from the underground bunker. Trap's ponies raided the now-cooled metal pieces of the robot and had begun working them into crude walls to start rebuilding the town. I trotted along next muddy waters, the mare who had spoken to me and brought me out of my thoughts the day before. The Earth's pony had taken to a leadership position among the Arlington ponies and apparently was a close friend to Nurse Care. Muddy explained how she had sent the force in to assist Violet when she realized that the rangers had found my friends out. Our journey led us a short way outside of the town proper, where a small group of ponies and one hellhound waited for our arrival. The group had gathered around two crude stones placed in the dirt. Beyond these two, several rows of the same types of stones littered the small area. I stepped forward into the crowd, catching Violet's eyes and smiling softly. My mare friend had a pained look on her face, but she nodded all the same. The silence was unnerving, and I stopped finally in between the two stones. I turned to the others, doing my best to keep spirits high.
I didn't know either Nurse Care or Grey Knight very well, I must admit. I couldn't tell you what their favorite color was or whether they liked sugar apple bombs or not, I started to say, breaking the awkward silence. But I knew the most important thing about them. They had heart. Nurse Care, she did her best to fix us up when we first came here, and even when we returned. She was truly loyal and caring to the very end, sacrificing herself to bring peace to us all.
I ran a hoof over the stone that belonged to the deceased friend and smiled. I glanced down at the other stone and grimaced.
Gray was a good pony. And furthermore, he was a good friend, even if he acted strange or if he said weird things. He strove to do the right thing always, to preserve his honor. I know that somewhere he's with Celestia. Both of these ponies died to protect this town, seeking only to do what was right and just, not what was fast and easy. That, my little ponies, is what we call fighting the good fight. And so we must carry on, for them. And though it may hurt our hearts to say goodbye, we must remember, you never really do say goodbye, only see you later.
I stopped, tears filling my eyes. The silence of the moment permeated everything around us. The tribals and my friends stepped forward, saying what little words they could to the graves before heading out. Violet and the others waited nearby as I sat in front of Gray's stone.
Thank you, Knight,
I said softly, touching the cold hard stone with a hoof.
Thank you for showing me the right way to do things, and not the easy way.
I steeled my gaze and stood. If I was going to follow an example, I was going to do it the right way. I had to take my own advice for a change and fight the good fight. And I was going to start by going after Spark.
Star,
Violet said, placing her hoof on my shoulder.
You ready to head back?
I nodded solemnly, turning away from the stone and trotting beside her. As we trotted along, I let myself fall back into the familiarity of our little group, my little family. Patch and Lilith were bouncing along, giggling like school fillies, while Nixies and Steeljack appeared to be in deep conversation about something or other. Violet strode next to me, keeping close watch over us all. I could see it in her eyes, her resolve. The mare would die before she would let another friend of ours perish. I knew it in my heart. I simply hoped that it would never come to pass. We made our way back down into the stable where our things were still laid out in the infirmary. We all needed rest from the exhausting trials we had endured. I flopped down onto the bedroll and sighed as I rolled over. Violet lay next to me, while Patch and Lilith watched as Steeljack and Nixies pulled out a board of some kind, playing a strange game of strategy using bullet casings for game pieces. The two mares were discussing the calibers of the casings while the Hellhound grinned toothily at the Earth Pony. Yes, my own little slice of family.
Violet, I said softly. I know we talked already, but I want you to know something.
What is it?
My love replied.
When I was fighting Candy, I wanted to kill him. I wanted it so badly I could taste it. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't tarnish Gray's memory like that.
I said, my voice shaking with every word.
I know that sometimes this world, this wasteland, it makes us do things that we shouldn't do. Was I somehow wrong to not kill him? Would I have been doing the wasteland a favor?
Violet rolled over and smiled softly.
That's what makes you a good pony, sweetie. You question yourself and your own actions, she said.
You are a good pony, Star. Gray would have been proud of what you did. I nodded, yawning. I was more tired than I had realized. Laying my head next to my love, I closed my eyes and let the world drift away into dreamland. The library door swung open before me. I wondered just what Twilight was playing at, seeking me out again. Still, I wasn't upset. I had something I needed to ask her. I pushed through the doorway, glancing about the empty and dark library. The purple mare appeared at the far end of the aisles, her horn bristling with light as she rearranged the books on the shelves. She glanced up, seeing me and smiling.
Star, she said curtly, what are you doing here?
You tell me, I replied.
Why am I here?
I honestly have no idea. You must have subconsciously traveled here, Twilight said, cocking her head.
I sighed.
I did want to talk to you, Twilight. Something happened, I said finally. When I used my magic, I felt something terrible. Something in the back of my mind. It wasn't burnout, but it didn't feel right.
Twilight smiled wearily.
Oh, she said. I'm certain it was nothing, Star. You're probably just getting used to your magic being more powerful again.
I suppose you're right, I said, placing a hoof up to my face.
I chuckled. It seemed rather silly once I had thought about it.
All right, then. So, I suppose I'll be going, then.
Twilight paused, motioning at me to follow her.
Actually, there is one thing, the alicorn said. A memory, if you will. A rather important one.
She pointed at a book on the shelf. The spine was emblazoned with her cutie mark. She lifted it off the shelf with her magic, opening it. A moving picture appeared on its pages.
What is it?
I said curiously. Twilight pointed at the picture.
Touch it. It will allow you access to the memory, she said.
I looked at the other mare curiously, but decided to do what she had said. My hoof touched the page, color and light pouring out of the book all around me. I fell into the memory and everything went white. My eyes reopened and I felt myself in a familiar body. My host's wings flexed as she flew through the air. I sensed that this was one of the only times that the mare got actually to fly. She soared over Canterlot's spires, the wind whipping through her mane.
Enjoying yourself this morning, I see.
A voice from the back of my host's mind said. It was a very familiar voice.
Of course, my host said. I never get to just fly. No ponies up, so it doesn't really matter. Don't forget that you have a meeting in a few hours, Spark said. A joint meeting of the Ministry Mares, no less. I'm surprised you six are actually getting together. Aren't we on bad terms with Laughter?
It's just business, Spark, Twilight said, snorting. You know that. I'm sure that they'll bring up Shining again, though. I don't know why they don't just leave well enough alone.
They do care about us, Spark mused. That's why we're doing this, remember that, Twilight. When we're done with the spell to bring your brother back, we can help all of your friends.
I know that, I do. But I just can't keep telling them that I'm fine. They know, Spark. They know something is up.
Twilight replied, flapping her wings slightly as she landed on the roof of the Ministry of Arcane Science Canterlot Hub. Her wings snapped to her sides, the appendages disappearing with a flare of her horn.
Let them talk, Spark replied. They'll know the truth soon enough.
Twilight snickered as she tapped a button on the elevator that took her down into her office. Twilight sat at her chair, pulling up a document on her terminal. The writings on it were arcanic in nature, and I couldn't exactly understand them.
These artifacts are difficult to translate, she said aloud. Even with Daring's notes, I'm not even sure I can figure them out. What the hell do they mean?
This is a crucial piece before you can cast the spell, Twilight, Spark said.
I believe you can do it. I know you can.
Twilight sighed. I sure hope you're right, she said as the memory faded away. The colors and light surrounded me once more, and I found myself in front of Twilight in the library once more. I cocked my head at the alicorn.
That was rather short, I said.
Twilight snorted.
Spark thought she had me figured out, she replied. Right after that was when the other elements tried to, you know already. The meeting? I asked.
Twilight nodded her head solemnly.
I wasn't expecting it. My friends had nothing to do with it, of course, she said. That was when I really knew that something was wrong with Spark, and that it was up to me to stop her. The other elements tried, but she was too strong. I felt her in the back of my mind all the time after that, always prodding me, always pushing me to finish the spell. I wanted you to see that because you need to remember what you're up against. She sounds nice, and she acts like she wants to be your friend, but she's not. She's bad news, Star.
Twilight, I understand how you feel, I said. But that still doesn't change my mind. I'm sorry, I think I have to go now.
I turned towards the door of the library, ignoring the mare's cries of indignation. I glanced back at her.
Next time, don't call me, I'll call you.
The library filtered away and I woke up. I awoke in darkness once again, sighing as I luxuriated in the warmth of the bedroll. I glanced around the dark room. I was alone, stretching out my legs, I pushed myself up. It appeared that most of our things had been packed. Stargazer sat next to our saddlebags, looking as pristine as ever. I smiled. I guessed that Patch had decided to keep herself a little busy while I was sleeping. The door opened as I turned to leave, revealing Violet.
Hey!
She said. I waved.
You're right?
Yeah,
I replied. Rested at least. How long was I out? You guys already packed.
You were out only for a few hours. Don't worry, Violet said, chuckling.
We just figured that you'd want to be ready to head out to Manhattan.
I nodded.
I am, I said softly. I think that we need to go. These ponies will be fine with all the tech to back them up. They don't need us anymore.
You'd be wrong, but I'll understand if you don't want to stay, a voice from behind Violet said.
Muddy Waters stood in the doorway, smiling.
We could still use your help, of course. A place to stay, a roof over your head, you'd be more than welcome.
Muddy, I'm sure that would be excellent, but there's some bad things going on out there in the wastes.
I have some pony I need to save, I said.
Muddy nodded.
Well then, this is where we part ways then. The brown mare said. Safe travels to you, Ministry Mare.
And to you, I said, igniting my horn.
My saddlebags flew into the air, landing on my back.
Violet, let's get back to the others. We're getting out of here.
My love smiled, her horn flaring as well. Her bags latched to her back, thunderflash attached to her harness. We made our way beside Muddy towards the stable entrance. I stopped for a second, noticing a familiar green mare sitting in the Overmare's office. I motioned for Violet and Muddy to go on ahead and stepped inside.
Patch?
I said cautiously, startling my friend. She had tears rolling down her face.
Are you all right?
Sorry, Star. I was just thinking about the stable and reading the logs. It's just...
she said, blubbering. I smiled softly and laid a hoof on her shoulder. Patch pointed at the screen.
By Celestia, they were only false, Star. Children. They were children when they were sent into this place, and they didn't understand why. And I still can't figure out what happened to them when they grew up, Star.
My friend continued.
It's just too much.
I laid my wing around the poor crying mare and nodded.
Patch, I know that this is hard for you. We may never know what happened to the ponies here, I said.
but we can take this knowledge and remember them. Their existence will not be forgotten.
Pat glanced down at my pipback and I smiled. I connected the device to the terminal, downloading all of the information to it.
There, any time you want to read them, let me know.
Thanks, Star. I just...
My friend said, tearing up again. I pulled the mare into a hug. We sat there for several moments before I spoke once more.
I know. Now clear those tears and let's get out of this place, all right?
I said. Patch nodded, whipping away the tears with a fetlock. I disconnected my pipback and we trotted out of the office. We made our way shortly out into the day ahead of us. The others were waiting outside. Patch silently walked up to Steeljack and gave him a brief hug. The stallion smiled, returning the hug. I leaned into Violet and beamed at the rest of our little group.
So, everyone ready to go?
I asked.
As always, my friend, Nixie said, grinning toothily.
The others nodded and we began to trot out of the town. The ponies working waved as we left, moving back into the wasteland at large. We stopped briefly at the graveyard outside of the town. A few moments of silence later, we were on our way. The sun had risen overhead, shining brightly upon the wastes. We moved with purpose, heading towards the map marker I had made for Manhattan. We passed through the swampland we had first met Cranky in, making our way back into the main part of the country. We stepped out onto an old highway, the cracked road stretching on beneath our feet as we passed several abandoned buildings. On a whim, I decided to flick on my radio, seeing if I could pick up a certain unicorn's broadcast. After a while, a brash voice filled the air around us.
Hello, children. That's right, it's me again, your good old pal DJ Pawn 3, and it's time for some news. Wasteland children of the Manhattan area, beware. I'm getting reports of attacks on the outlying settlements of the city. I don't have much specifics on what's going on, but all I know is that the attacker is some sort of rogue alicorn with a green coat and black mane. Now, I know what you're all saying out there. Are the alicorns bad once more? I don't think so, children. Our friends and the followers of the apocalypse are still right here with us. They're good ponies, through and through. This one, though, she's bad news, children. Steer clear of the outlying settlements and keep your assault rifle loaded and handy. Do not, and I repeat, do not engage this thing if you have a choice. Run, hide, do anything. In other news, I've gotten a message from my counterpart up north in the city of Chickercold. It seems our old friend the ministry mayor was in the city for quite some time, and boy, oh boy, did she shake things up. If you're ever in the area, stop in, ministry mayor. We'll share stories of good times. Thanks for listening, children. Now have some music.
I glanced over at Violet, raising an eyebrow. Her eyes went wide.
An alicorn with a black mane and a green coat? She said.
I nodded.
There's only one alicorn I know that is like that, I said. Spark.
What is she doing down in Manhattan?
Patch asked, voicing the obvious question. I shook my head.
I'm not sure, but I intend to find out, I said.
A rustling noise from a nearby ruined building caught my attention, my ears perking up.
Did any pony hear that?
Yeah,
Steeljack said, spinning about, Tempest's rifle swinging out onto the stallion's battle saddle. I looked cautiously at the nearby building, flipping on my EFS. Two blue blips appeared directly in front of us. I lifted a hoof.
Stand down, Steeljack, they're non-hostile, I said softly.
The stallion nodded, stowing away the rifle. I stepped towards the building when suddenly a flash of fur and feather zipped out from the ruined entrance. It was a little griffin cub, a female. Her feathers topped out in a light shade of dyed blue. She stopped in front of us, smiling brightly and her eyes white with awe.
Touch, it's them, we found them,
she shouted behind her.
Come on out.
Who?
I said, cocking my head in confusion. Something moved out of the building's only entrance. A purple puddle of ooze lifted out of the ground, forming into a vague shape with holes for eyes and a gaping maw for a mouth. It settled next to the griffin cup, quivering with excitement.
Featherjoy, it's them!
The thing's voice erupted. I blinked.
Smooth?
I said. The smooth glanced over at me and frowned, extending a pseudopod pleadingly.
Radiant Star, I'm so glad we found you. We need your help.
Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. Quest perk, Broken Block. All of your spells are increased by one rank and no longer causes magical burnout. Violet Iris, level up. Steeljack, level up. New weapon / armor. Tempest. Your DR is increased to 80 and your new rifle packs quite a wallop. Patch, new perk, Robot Overloader. Your experience in attempting to sabotage a giant robot has done you some good. You gain plus 20 to your science and repair skills when dealing with robotics and robotic systems. Turrets shake in fear of your mighty talent. Lilith, level up.